is Sean Daniels with the Fright Channel and Horror Haven here at Jill Thompson at Boston Comic Con. How's the show been with you so far?
I've really been enjoying the show. Great people, lots of art lovers and buyers. I had a great panel. I was talking for a really long time. It was spotlight on me by me. That was kind of sprung on me. I had no clue. So I showed up and they're like, well, this panel's about you. And there's no moderator. So I was able to keep people laughing for at least an hour.
Now, is this your first time in Boston, or...?
It is my first time in Boston. My only previous other Boston experience has been in the airport.
And from your tweets, I heard you didn't have the greatest travel today at all, or the other day when you were coming in.
I have seemed to be having the worst convention luck when it comes to being allowed access or coming in to a convention. There's always, I figured what the universe wants is for me to have a good story when I get there.
Exactly.
And I'm more than happy to act everything out. Yes, yes, yes. Hello. I'm happy to see your t-shirt.
I know.
We have a Daniel Bryan t-shirt here. So.
Excellent.
Big fan.
One of the things I want to talk to you is the Scary Godmother. I downloaded the app, got the first issue. Now, what's the plans with that and the app?
The plan for the Jilly Jill app is for me to be able to bring new stories of any type of comic I feel like that may not have a home for publishing at the moment. So I could do a 4-page story or a 10-page story. I'm trying to get more stuff out there. The first thing that I put up was a 16-page full-color intro to Scary Godmother. So once you looked at that, you know, if you've never seen it before, it might lead you to pick up the books by Dark Horse or the books that are reissued by Dark Horse. So there's two Scary Godmother volumes. One's a hardcover and one's a softcover volume that each contain a completely different set of stories for Scary Godmother. One is all color material and then the other one is all comic book stories. So together there's like, you know, 500 pages of new stories and art that you, if you've only seen Scary Godmother on Cartoon Network at Halloween, it did come from something before that, and this is a way for you to find that out. Dark Horse also has issued that you can get that downloaded, so it's available for digital download too, as well as Beast of Burden, which is the other thing that I do. I think Beast of Burden is available for digital download as well.
Actually, that's where the first time I was introduced to you was through Beast of Burden. And it was funny because the first issue I remember was like a... was that kind of a one-shot, part of a Halloween anthology or something like that, with the haunted...
It was...
The Haunted Doghouse, I remember that was the story.
Did a series of books that were called Dark Horse Book Of, and they had the Book of Ghosts, the Book of Monsters, the Book of Witchcraft, the Book of the Undead, I think, that was, or the Book of the Dead, and that was... You know, we did a zombie story in that. And the first Beast of Burden story was Evan Dorkin was asked to... contribute to that anthology, and he came up with a story of a dog that had a dog haunted doghouse. So that's where it came from. It wasn't something where he sat down and said, I'm going to create this new series about these dogs. It was an 8-page story for an anthology, and Scott Alley asked me to illustrate it because Evan refused to illustrate his own story. He said that he couldn't do it. He was going to suck at it. He wouldn't be able to pull it off.
That doesn't sound like Evan at all. Yeah. No. Self-deprecating humor, come on.
Wait, yeah, I would love to see how he did it. But thankfully he said, I would really like to work with Jill. Maybe you can see Jill could do it. And then when Scott called me, I was like, oh, sure, I would love to work with Evan. I've loved Evan's work for years.
Yep.
And I was really happy to be able to contribute. Plus, it was a ghost story, you know, something I could paint and kind of hit every button.
Yeah, and jumping back to Scary Godmother, for anybody who's not familiar with it, can you just give a quick brief synopsis so that people are aware of it?
The Scary Godmother is like your fairy godmother, but for Halloween. And she lives on the Fright side. She has a cast of characters that hang out with her. Mr. Pettibone's the skeleton in the closet. Bugaboo is the monster in the basement. There's a vampire family. They have a little boy named Orson. And Harry the werewolf lives in... Ackerman Forest with his mother, who's like a gypsy woman.
Perfectly named.
And there's a little girl, a human girl named Hannah, that can come and visit whenever she wants to. And that's kind of our link to the Scary Godmother world. Is we start out meeting Hannah at the very beginning, and she wants to go trick-or-treating one Halloween, and she gets to go with her older cousin Jimmy, who was not too thrilled about having to bring the baby along with him because he would not be able to go fast enough and get to all the houses and get all the candy. So he figures if they can scare, if she gets scared and she wants to go home, that's not his fault.
Right.
So he kind of convinces his pals to try and spook Hannah by creating a yarn about how every year the new kid has to go into the haunted house that's on the block, you know, kind of old abandoned house, and leave candy for the monsters. And then they ditch her in the house, where she starts to cry and then meets her scary godmother, who comes to turn the tables on Jimmy. And once she meets scary godmother, then after that she gets to go to the bright side whenever she wants to.
And you're doing the Jill Jill app through the Four Star Studio guys, or Josh Emmons, or one of those guys that did it?
Yeah, Josh did that for me before he moved over to Graphically, because I loved the Four Star Studios app.
One of my favorite apps.
I love that it has extras, and mine has extras just in the fact that there's a lot of notes that go along with what I drew in the future. Because I do this as I go along drawing now, I scan the pencil stage, I scan in progress while I'm painting something, and then the finished piece.
Did you do that before, or is that because of this now?
The first story that I have up there is not. It was that story was actually used. I created that story for the animation company to try and sell Scary Godmother to television. So that was I don't have the original artwork. I only have like large Xeroxes. So I scanned those in, had them colored by someone, someone that knows how to color on the computer, and figured that would be available as my first upload. I do that now, but at the time I didn't because I didn't have a scanner. I didn't have a computer.
And you weren't probably thinking, like, oh, I should, you know, do
save
this. Or
this. Yeah. I mean, I would make copies of a lot of things. Like when I was working on Sandman, I would make copies of my pencils before I would send them off because when they came back to be inked, they didn't necessarily look like entirely like my drawings anymore because they have the art and influence of another person on it, and I wanted people to always be able to see what it looked like when it left the house, as it were.
The next thing I want to talk about is Beast of Burden, which has been a series I'm absolutely loving. We talked to Evan Dorkin down at New York Comic Con, and he's actually said you're the voice of humanity in that, where he will write something and he sometimes tries to get you to draw some pretty twisted stuff and you have to be like, maybe I'm not going to draw that. And you can fire away because the interview was a lot of fun, and he's a character.
The voice of humanity. Well, I begged and pleaded. I was like, I pleaded for Ace's life.
Yep.
In the boy and his dog story, or dog and his boy story, because at the end of that, Evan wasn't going to. Oh, there's a horrible creature here at the end of my table. That might be a ringwraith. I'm not sure.
I think maybe a Sith Lord, possibly.
It could be a Sith Lord, which is even worse. He's going to give me this. Oh, it is.
Definitely a Sith Lord.
We've got Sith Lords in front of me. They're dangerous, those Sith Lords.
You can't trust them.
Going back to Beast
with
of
Ace.
Burden, Ace was not going to survive that story.
Really?
Yeah. He's my favorite. So I was like, please don't let him die. You can't let, please don't kill him. Don't kill him. Oh my God, I love him. Please. And I was like crying. Because I was crying while I was doing that story. Because it totally touched me.
I can imagine.
I guess my tears convinced Evan to keep him around. And now he's great because he's a bit more enhanced. He's been bit by a werewolf, so he's stronger than a regular dog. And he's totally badass now. And he wouldn't have been if Evan, you know,
had his way.
And then the end of the second miniseries that we did with Hazel and her pups, where the pups go missing, Lost,
yeah,
was
that
really
was
difficult.
Yeah.
And I got to the very last page, and when I read it, I was just like, I don't want to draw this.
Yeah.
I don't want to draw this. First of all, one, because it's so sad, and two, it's like, I don't want to give any creepy little idiots any ideas, you know? Because, you know, Evan had described terrifying things, and I was called, like, how can you sleep? You know, he goes, no, I just went and hugged my daughter. He goes, it's a parent's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
It's not your children go missing. I'm not a mom, so, but I completely understand. And he just said that it was more about that type of issue than it was, you know, about animal
cruelty
or anything, and the thing is people are so very affected by that last page, and they come up to me at conventions or book signings or things like that and say that wrecked me. you know, like, oh, it's the most horrible thing. That issue was, it was so sad. However, David gets his throat ripped out by three dogs.
And no one seems to get upset.
Nobody, even like, no one cares.
Yeah.
And to me, it's a tragic thing as well. It's like, this child became this thing, this terrible person. And I have no sympathy for, you know, if you hurt an animal, I will go to jail because I'm probably going to beat you to death with a baseball bat. But I just did, I drew a horrific thing that happened like 2 pages earlier, and no one said that was horrible. It made me so, it freaked me out. It was scary. They went for the last page, which is sad. It's horribly sad.
But that's also, I mean, that was part of the effect, was to get you to feel, obviously, for the dog, Hazel, and her, what happened.
I do keep, again, being, I keep trying to get Evan to tell some, a couple of lighthearted stories in between. I said, because this book is such a, it's not a downer, but it's like, it's so emotional. It's such a roller coaster ride. And things happen to these guys. Like, you gotta let something good happen to these poor dogs, you know, let somebody get a frisbee or, you know, have some treats. Somebody made dog treats for them and they're not, you know, no one be scolded. Let them go to dog park. Can we just have an like episode where they all go to the park and they all run around and they're happy and then that's the end of it? Or they go to the beach. Where else do dogs like to go? They like to go hang out with other dogs.
Well, you did the one that I liked most recently was in Dark Horse Comics Presents, was the one where they meet the sheep. And it seems at first you're like, oh, it's there's a sheep and this dog protecting them. And then, you know, you kind of, all of a sudden you're like, oh, something's not right. And then you get to that reveal and you're kind of like, oh. And it affected me.
I cried. I mean, I can tell you the ones that I've cried during, like a boy and his, a dog and his boy. I wept while drawing it and then wept harder while painting it. In so much that on one of the pages where Ace is trying, the page where Ace is trying to reach out to the boy, well, the boy is reaching out to Ace, and then like he's only about an inch away from him, and that's when he dies and his hand goes limp, and he, you know, you can't get to it. To me, that's a father who can't help his son, and that's all he tried to do.
Now
and I'm gonna start to.
I am too. I am too.
When I think of it, because actually Evan had that scene. The last three pages were one page long.
Yeah.
And I begged, could I please get more space? I said because this is the most sad thing I've ever read. Just the fact that he. All this happens, you know, and I said, I want to, like, to pull the camera back, and when the black dog comes, when Myrna comes, because she's a wise dog, we don't know that, I want everyone to think the black dog is coming for him, and that can't happen, like, in the same tier that, you know, they drag the boy away.
Right.
I said, that has to be at the end of a page, where you don't know that he's alive, and I planned that so... I planned it so much because I wanted...
Attention, please, at 5 p.m. in panel room 102, is the creator of...
This has happened quite a few times. When we were at New York Comic Con, it was, like, not a problem. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I guess that. I have a really good audio editor, so he's taking all this stuff out, so...
Well, I wanted...
Creator of Comics panel is 5 p.m. and panel room 102.
At least we know where that panel is.
Also at 5 p.m., panel room 108, superhero wedding. Come all, bring rice.
So when I planned that page out, I wanted him, you know, them to have dragged the boy away and leaving him there. And I even talked to Jason, because if I had lettered it myself, I would have made the letters really small. And I wanted his voice to fade out and his word balloons to be chopped up as if he can, you know, he's dying. He's barely able to speak. And he's trying to get their attention, and I've got the goosebumps because it's going to make me sad. Where he's like, wait, I'm not dead, but because he's so injured, you know, don't leave me. Where there you think he's oh my God, he still is dying. And then I want to pull the camera back as if his soul is leaving his body.
Oh, wow.
And then so when the shadow is cast across him, it also covers up the highlight in his eye, so it's almost like a dead fish eye where there's no gleam to it. It's milked over. So because in the beginning of the page, you'll see that he still has a highlight in his eye, but at the bottom of the page, the shadow and the black dog leg comes through and you see. And so I want everyone to go, oh my God, it's the black dog, because they spoke so much of the black dog. In the beginning of the issue about how he comes and takes dogs and they run in the endless fields forever. So that should still have been in your mind. And then when you turn the page, I still, even though technically you could look at the bottom of the page and see that he's alive, you see the destroyed house, you see Myrna there, and she's even saying, you know, I'm sorry we couldn't help your friend more. And so even still at the end, it's such a somber way. You know, Burden Hill is overtaken by snow. It's cold. The gang can't really hang out with each other and talk to each other. And Ace is super injured. And he's, you know, no one can talk to him about the boy because it's this devastating loss. And they were all terribly affected by it. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
And during that scene, I was crying, like sobbing while I was doing it. My nose is running. And tear fell down from my eye to hit the page, and the salt in my tear made this perfect salt mark flower on there, so it actually has me crying in there. That was one time I cried. Second time I cried a bunch, during the Hazel episode, I cried because it was, I felt like, so my brother had that type of dog.
Oh yeah.
And Streak ended up getting cancer and passing away, so it was like kind of really almost an homage to poor Streak, and she was such a good mom dog that you know, she would have these expressions on her face, and then she sacrifices herself at the end to be a mother. It's like that made me get all choked up.
Oh yeah, I was showing my wife it, and we have kids, and I remember, and she's like, "Oh, what's this you're reading?" You know, and I'm like, "No, yeah, you really don't want to read this." I'm like, "You're gonna have a hard time with it and stuff."
But it's good that it comes towards the end of the book where you can read it and you can get accustomed with the gang before you start crying. And then the one with the sheep in the new Dark Horse Presents, it wasn't so much the, even the thing at the end was grisly and gruesome. It's like, oh God, it's the tiny panel where stuff is on fire. And in through the slats, you can see.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. Oh.
And I can hear them lying and bleeding, and the dog is scratching.
Yeah. No, I.
And the dog is scratching at the door to try and get them out.
So, on a lighter note, my family...
I always call them up and go, you made me cry again. Damn you. Can you please write, it's a Christmas story and they all get chew toys and they get to eat turkey bones.
That's not going to come from Evan. You know, that's not going to come from
I want to tell a Christmas story where they accidentally catch Santa because they're trying to be good dogs and they're a burglar. You won't write it.
You'll have to write it.
I have not... I could probably write stories with those guys, but that's Evan. I don't jump into that arena with these guys.
Right. I don't want to take too much time because I know you're super busy.
My
but
are weeping.
And two things I wanted to talk about was one, first, your process, this is painted, correct?
Yeah.
Piece of bird. So when you do that, are you penciling over first and then, you know, painting? Or
cause I pencil and then I paint.
Okay, so you start off with laying it out with pencils and stuff like that and painting over that. Now, do you
lay out the lettering.
Do you do any of that digitally, or this is all hand done?
Here you go. You can't see this, everybody, that's on this podcast. This is a paintbrush. This is my traveling paint tray. The only difference between this and what I use at home is the tray is bigger.
Uh-huh.
And I have a million other brushes. This is just my travel brush.
Because it's absolutely beautiful, and it's funny because a lot of artists don't like to draw animals because they complain, oh, it's difficult to do this. But, I mean, you draw humanity in these dogs. I mean, you know, you're... These dogs almost represent people. I mean, they're and it's so amazing.
Types. I liken them to like a World War II movie, because you have, you know, kind of the naive farm boy, which would be to me Jack.
Yep.
And he's not naive, but he's he's your everyman character.
Yep.
He's the guy you're supposed to be in this group.
He pulls the reader in.
Ace is the hero. Pugs is the wisecracking New York Jew or whatever, you know, like he's the Brooklyn guy or the Bronx guy or whomever that guy was supposed to be back in the day. And then Whitey would be the very naive farm boy. He's the guy from the country that, you know, if this was a movie, he would be taking a bullet because he's like, hey, go Shane, France, wonderful. You know, that's what he, you know, that's who he would be. And the orphan is, you know, somebody that's been through a lot, but, you know, like, kind of comes to be part of the group. So, like, it seemed like when Evan wrote it, I go, this is, I think I've seen this movie. I think John Wayne was in it, you know? So, I try and make them act. Their faces have a lot of expression, but they're still dogs. Like, you're not going to see them sit up and, you know, if they try and do something, there's not going to be like a, you know, it's kind of cute, like they're anthropomorphized.
Yep.
It's like, the only way they can get anything done is through their teeth and their claws, and barking and being dogs, or doing something with their tails, but they don't have any, you know, special characteristics. And dog people things can happen in stories. I mean, I know that, you know, Evan has lots and lots of stuff plotted out, but what we've talked about is just how, you know, when we've been shooting, you know, kind of throwing ideas back and forth, is, well, and we're paying very close attention because big dogs last longer, or don't last as long as little dogs. Like, their lifespan is much shorter. The bigger the dog, the shorter the lifespan. You know, someone could get taken to the vet. Someone could be given away.
Yep.
They could go over to somebody's house and the family's moved and they don't know, and they'll be talking about something, but only we as the reader might know that there's a for sale sign on their house and that they maybe, like, who knows? So I don't know if any of this is going to come into play. Or someone could get, you know, a dog disease or a terminal dog disease, and their owner can't afford to treat them, and they get put down, and no one has control over that in the group, which would devastate me. But Evan's talked, you know, we've talked about just the reality of stuff that happens with animals. And then there's, like, he has so many other animals, like interactions with them. We're probably going to see Hope the raccoon again, which is good.
The raccoons are interesting characters that he kind of have an interesting take, and their personalities fit kind of what they are and stuff. And then last question, is there going to be an ongoing or a mini, or, because I know it's been popping up in the Dark Horse Presents, but...
There's going to be another mini that's going to come. I'm going to be able to start it later in this year. Evan's writing it already. I'm working on something else for another company that I can't talk about yet. But it's going to be very, very cool.
Wait, now, where can people find any information, website, DeviantArt stuff?
I am not a DeviantArt person. I'd say the best way to find out junk about me right now is on Twitter. And I'm E. Jill Thompson on Twitter. Because I post a lot more stuff. I post art. When I finally get my long-talked-about website completed, or interactive website that I'll be able to contribute to, I will definitely be announcing it there. Cool. So, but Twitter is the best place to find
it. We can find out that you and Ben Templesmith going back and forth about drinking White Russians and champagne.
I am too smart to mix oysters and champagne.